Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, present value and future value of annuities and perpetuities. But before we do that, quick look at the numbers just to see what's happening out there in the world of finance. And as you can see, well, I always like to do this because I will, on the exam, I will ask you for some basics about bull, bear markets and all that. Ma'am, is this a bull day or a bear day? It is a bull day. And it's not a spectacular, but that's a pretty strong upswing. So those, every time we have a hard down day, as we did last week, you hear the apocalypse seers saying, well, this is the beginning of the bear market. And of course, then I was calling, this is a dead cat bounce. This is a real live cat. And this cat has a lot of bounce in his tail. This is like Tigger, just going really well up. We're again coming into record territory. As you can see, notice that pattern over and over again is that the Dow has a good day, 0.75 points so far, and then the S&P has a better day, 1.25, and then the NASDAQ has the best day at almost, 1.7%. Just a classic pattern you'll see over and over, because with greater risk, with greater risk, you will see the greater expected return. Of course, then, as I've always said, then on the downside, that has the opposite effect. So you can see that there was good news. Well, the big, big, huge 30 industrials of the earth say, yeah, that was great, wee. And the S&P 500, which has strong monopolistic competitors, if you remember that term from economics, they have a better day, because they react more. And then the NASDAQ, which has many, many, just hundreds of tens of thousands of small, scrappy companies and some huge companies, well, they have the best day. It's just a classic pattern. Good example. When you, sir, were 10 years old, you were just all kinds of excited, running around, just tearing up on your bicycle, going up and down, scraping your knees, and then writhing around in pain, then getting back up and having a good time. Of course, then you get to your 30s, and yeah, I might do some exercise today. Then again, I could have a cheeseburger instead. And you get to my age, another cup of coffee, then it's time to take a nap. It's the same idea, is that the smaller companies are going to have more reactions and stronger responses than the companies that are bigger and then the giants. That's why they're so safe, is that, you know, you're never going to make a lot of money off them probably, but at the same time, you're never going to see them falling into the dirt. Those are oligopolies mostly, or near monopolies, so you're not going to, they are essentially, they live forever. As a matter of fact, if you ever took an economics course from me, I talk about these oligopolies. They're even their strategic way of functioning is fundamentally different from S&P 500 companies. They don't plan for 2 years, 5 years. They're looking on time horizons of 50 years, 100 years. And so they're a very different kind of beast than young companies, or even normal mid-sized and large-cap companies. But anyway, as you can see, crude oil, it had slipped below 90 a barrel, but it's coming back up. And one thing that I am noticing is the gasoline prices have begun to go up. The gasoline reserves are beginning to suffer somewhat. So you're going to see, even with down strokes in the price of oil, the long-term view is still upward, and gasoline is showing signs. I saw a couple of places in town here at $3.69 a gallon. That's just what it's going to be as we go forward in time. Now, over here, notice gold and silver. Those are not unbelievably great days, but they both showed strength. So there is a bullish sentiment. Use your cash, buy things, buy securities, buy metals, whatever. And then the 10-year bond, it's down 2.7 basis points as far as yield. That means that the price went up. So in other words, the money is not sitting on the sidelines right now. There is money being thrown at a lot of things. That is a bullish sentiment. And if you were saying, well, what's it going to be like from here, maybe for the rest of the week or next week? With all this cash going in all these directions, to equities, to bonds, to metals, I mean, that's the kind of thing that tells me that the bears are hiding in their caves right now. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to come out and knock everyone down, but I see a lot of bullish sentiment down the for the intermediate. Now, going over here, Financial Times, 100, those stocks went up. The Nikkei 225 went up. So apparently, we've got a happy planet right now. Heaven knows why. We're all going to die, and the world's going to go to hell, and we're going to have a massive recession. Apparently, that's not what the markets are thinking right now. It's a good day. It's a happy day all across the world and across different kinds of securities. So that gives you an idea of how we read these. Another one of those ways we just look at these numbers and we get a sense of the feeling of the market, of the animal itself. And today, this is a very, very up day, very happy day. Hell, even Bitcoin is up, for heaven's sakes. Excuse me. Now, let me take you on something of a journey here for just a few minutes. And as I said, in this class, I use the TI-83, but if you can't afford one or you can't get the virtual that I've got, the BA is, they cover these same keystrokes in the textbook, so you're not losing anything by not having one of these. And by all means, pull out your calculators, pull out your computers to look at this, to watch this. And I'm also going to show you a little bit in Excel, too. Give you a minute here. I always hate it when I hear a computer falling on the floor. There's some terminology I'm going to start with, and it's not so much an important thing that I'm going to ask you on a test, what does this term mean in this context? But you attach the term to a method. Okay, that's an annuity. And that's an annuity due. And then you say, oh, that's what I do this when I do that on the calculator. That's good to put in your note card. You're allowed, of course, a note card front and back for the exam. And so that's a good thing. Okay, annuity due this. Annuity this. Okay, start with one. A lump sum is that thing that I did. You know, the future value is the present value times 1 plus r to the nth power, where r is periodic interest rate and n is the number of periods. That's a lump sum, a lump sum. And it has a very simple formula. Now, more than one cash flow. Component is called an annuity. Now, I do appreciate that you were probably told this in your accounting class. They always beat us to the punchline with this one. But, I mean, technically, a lump sum is an annuity of one cash flow component. I mean, you know, but we generally restrict the term annuity to a periodic thing. This term shows up in more everyday life than you might think. A pension is an annuity. As a matter of fact, here at this university, the people who've retired are called annuitants because they are living off an annuity from the pension premiums they paid in. So this annuity term, it kind of is a little bit more broader than just the term for a class FIL 240. Okay, now there are different kinds of annuities. Okay, cash flow. If it's at the end, it's called an ordinary annuity. And if it's at the beginning of the period, it's called an annuity due. Now, on your calculator, there is an end button, end toggle, E-N-D, at the bottom. And there's a begin toggle at the bottom. Be careful that that's on the right one. I'll tell you a little background on this for tests. Long ago when I was giving tests and first using these calculators, I would give a problem where you used an annuity due. And, of course, that meant the students put it on the begin. Then later I would give a problem that had an ordinary annuity. And I kept getting, all the students were getting the problem wrong. Why are they all, they're forgetting because it was on the begin, they forget to switch it to the end. Sure enough, almost all their answers would have been the right answer with the begin. Now, how do you know which one it is? A couple of ways. Almost always, loan payments are 1 month after you get the loan, they start. So it's an ordinary annuity. So automatically, if I ask you for a payment, go to that end button. It's an ordinary annuity. Now, the begin actually happens in financial planning a lot. Let me give you an example. I'm looking for a young man here, someone who would... Okay, I know. You, sir. There's going to be a time in your future, maybe. It happened to me. And your significant other is going to say to you four words that will change your life. Those four words, we're having a baby. Now, when it happened to me, I thought about, you know, I looked for razor blades to kill myself and all that. And I finally came to peace with the fact that my life was over anyway, so I might as well not save the money and just keep going forward. But the day that the child was born, well, and this will be you. Let me tell you, if you're there at the delivery, I was exhausted. I mean, that was terrible. I mean, I was tired after that was over. I don't know about her, but I was worn out. But when I left the hospital, and of course, obviously, I'm going to celebrate. I went to White Castle, got a case of 30 White Castle cheeseburgers, extra onions, just so I'd have cramps and forget about all my responsibilities. But that day, I came to this, today, I'm going to put money in the bank every birthday. So I put in, I set up one of those, like, plans where they would give me a guaranteed interest rate if I put in $2,000 every year. So I put money in the day the child was born. And then 18 payments. So on the child's 17th birthday, the last payment went in. And then all the money rode 1 year. And then on the kid's 18th birthday, I gave him the money, which turned out to be enough for maybe one semester here at ISU. But the point that I'm making, though, is that that is an annuity due. The payments occur at the beginnings of the period. That's very normal in financial planning. You set up all these different goals. Well, we want a house in 5 years. We want a new car every 3 years. We want our children, one's seven, one's nine, to have the money for tuition. So you just work out each of these annuity dues, and then you say, write me a check today for this amount, and we'll make sure that all of these goals come true. That's basically what it is. It's an Excel worksheet kind of thing. And then, so in other words, your first payment into this financial planning setup that we do for people, the first payment begins right away. You show me your commitment. When I come here, I'm going to tell you how much you have to do, or maybe a few days later. I'm going to tell you how much you have to write a check for every year. And if you do that, then at these markers in your life, the money will be available to you. Annuity deal. Okay? So if you're on a test or a quiz, the key is it a payment on a loan? Yeah, that's an ordinary annuity. But if I'm talking about something where starting today, you put, it's almost always the same, starting today, you put a certain amount of money, then you've got annuity due and you hit that begin button down there at the bottom. As you see on that, well, do you know why does this calculator turn off? Saving battery, why is it saving battery? No, seriously, this just irritates that. Oh, yeah, okay, anyway. Sorry about that, I lost my cool there for a minute. Okay, so always check that to make sure it's on the right toggle there at the bottom for the problem at hand. And I do guarantee you I'll do the ordinary annuity problems before I do the annuity due problem for you so that you don't mess that up. Okay, now another thing. Okay. All payments the same? That is a level annuity. Level annuities are the classic for loan payments. And we're going to dive right in here in just a few minutes and do some. We just attack problems. Get the keystrokes down and you'll get them right on the exam. All payments the same, that means it's a level annuity. Now, where do non-level annuities come? You'll see that a little later in the course. We can find the intrinsic value of a corporation by looking at we project the cash flows out a certain number of years, and then we just bring those all back to now. That should be approximately the intrinsic value of the company. As a matter of fact, just as a real life example of this, of course, we can do that for stocks and see, okay, the stock price now is this. The intrinsic value is this, and we can see whether it's overvalued or undervalued. What I did there, I've told you about some of the work I'm doing with West African countries. They want to look at these private companies and see if they're worth investing in by the government, and then put that money in, let the company roll forward, and then at some point in the future, spin off that stock that they've invested in the company, and then use those proceeds to invest in more companies and to do nice projects for the people of the country. So what we do is, I just show them, you just project these cash flows out 10 years. And then you take the present value of that annuity. Now, that's not going to be a level annuity because obviously the cash flows are going to be different in every year. So that's where you will see non-level annuities mostly, is in valuing companies. Also, in your lives, you're not going to make the same amount of money every year. We hope that you will have rising income for like maybe 40 years, but it's definitely not going to be a level annuity. So we have to do that non-level annuity to get the present value. Why would I need the present value of your life? Well, that would be how I'd figure out an appropriate amount of life insurance for you is, okay, the present value of your future expected income will be all these incomes brought back to the present, and then we find out what that number is, and then we say, okay, whatever that number is, that's about what you should get in life insurance right now. Interestingly enough, if I remember the numbers right, long ago, a service member had a life insurance policy, a young person who was just in the service in some kind of where there's a danger of being killed and all that. there was a life insurance policy, and I think, if I remember, it was $6 million. So in other words, that was a calculation of the present value of that non-level annuity of that kid's future income. It was about $6 million. Interestingly, I think it was about 5 years ago, something like that, they dropped that to $4 million. I don't know why, but they recalculated and said, well, no, these lives are not worth a total present value of $6 million. It's only $4 million. I don't know why that was, but they did it. But it is literally a non-level annuity calculation. Now, those aren't really hard to do. Excel does them incredibly fast. And even, I'm going to show you a trick on Friday for doing non-level annuity, present value of a non-level annuity. A level annuity is just a TVM solver. A non-level annuity, well, you could do it by taking the present value of each one of those. You can imagine what a pain that would be if you're like 10 years, 30 years. But there's actually a stupid trick you can do on this calculator that I've got up here that'll let you do it very fast, even without Excel. And I will show you the Excel. I may have to get to that on Friday. By the way, I'm thinking of an attendance quiz on Friday, okay? So don't be offended by it, but it says, are you here? And then next week I'll do a quiz just on this. So we'll do some more problems on this on Friday. Okay, anyway. Now, I can write the formula for a present value or the future value of an annuity, the present value of an annuity, a level annuity, ordinary annuity, annuity due. So, let me start with this one. That one with you, sir, you decided that you're going to put $2,000 starting today. In an account that pays 3.09% annually. You make your last payment on the kids' seventeenth birthday. How much will be in the account on the kid's 18th birthday? Once you get a chance to get that written down here, now watch. I mean, there is a formula for doing these. And it's the kind of formula that was, it's not horrible, but it's enough that you can make calculation mistakes. And it's not worth the aggravation when you can just do it this way. Watch this. Let me come back out. Apps, Finance, TVM Solver. Now, birthday 0 through birthday 17, that would be a total of 18 payments. Okay? Be careful about your count. It's not too hard here, but we're going to get to a kind of problem a little later where you have to actually almost on your fingers do it. And I am forever having to watch myself because I'm always leaving a year out. Now, the I percent. Now, here's something that I want to point out to you, give you a warning, is that normally the compoundings follow the payments. So if they're yearly payments, it's yearly compounding. Okay? You don't need to sweat it. If it is more than yearly compounding, but you're still making yearly payments, there's actually an easy way to fix it. There really is. But I'll show you that in a minute. Don't worry about it. Generally speaking, I mean, in a class like this, if it's monthly payments, it's 12. If it's annual payments, it's 1. It's not going to be anything tricky. Now, let's go down here. Now, there's no PV here because you're not doing a kicker. Like, if you decide, well, I'm going to throw in an extra 10 grand, yeah, you'd have a kicker at the beginning. But there's nothing like that here. This is just raw payments. You're going to put $2,000 in there every year. Don't look for trouble here. Now, one thing is clear is I've got to come down here and toggle to beginning because your first payment is occurring. See what it said? Starting today. That's your key. Just get it down. It's almost like go down there and kick that begin button right away just so you don't forget. Now, future value. Just put it up there and just say alpha solve. There'll be $48,670. Now, problems like these, I mean, for the purposes of a test, it's just to the nearest dollar. Okay, so that's how much will be there. You'll pull that out of the bank on the kid's 18th birthday, and there will be $48,670. Now, as far as rounding goes, on an exam, I have a little window there. Take any answer between 48,660 and 48,680. So there's a little bit of a window in there in case you slip a digit. And there's your answer. Yeah, by the time the kid's 18, that'll be about one semester of tuition. But now you can even do it for 4 years so that you fully vest 4 years. If I were, let's say, I want to have that kid able to pay for 4 years of college on his or her 18th birthday. Could we do that? Well, yeah, that would be $250,000 as the future value. That's what I want in there when the kid hits 18. And then I'd say, what payment would I have to put in every year to accomplish that? I have to put in $10,273. No, that kid can get a job. But you see, this is the whole point of what I was talking about, financial planning. You set a target of what you need in a certain number of years, and we'll tell you, you write us a check for that today, and we'll see to it that that happens. That's how it works. We want to have a $20,000 down payment on a home in 5 years. Starting today, what do I have to put in every year? Well, okay, 5 years. Now, I can probably, with that one, let's say I can get 3.49%. Go down here. Well, you want to, what was it? Let's say you want to have a $20,000 down payment in 5 years. See, I was just testing you on that. 3.49. Thank you for saving me looking like an ass there. Okay, well, what would we have to do as far as the future value or the payments go? Alpha, solve. Every year you'd have to put in $3,604. This is actually useful because this allows you to start planning for your future. Because if you've got a down payment on a house, you're going to get better terms on that house on the loan. You're going to have equity in the house to start with instead of starting out with 100% debt. All those will be there for you. This is the basis of financial planning. And you can have someone do it and you pay that person, or you can do this yourself. It's not that hard. You can see on the calculator, you can do these kinds of plans yourself. You can even do that for a car. How much do I have to put in every year for 3 years so that I have a $5,000 down payment on a car? All of this. Now, let me show you something, just a stupid pet trick. Let me go back to that original 18 payments at 3.09. Now you got me spooked. I'm watching my payments are zero. And, I don't want the payments to be zero. I'm just put that in there. Now, the payments were 2,000. Sorry about that. Okay, so what would be the future value? I'll get that one first, alpha solve, what we had before. There it is. Now, let me show you something. Suppose that you're putting your payments in every year, but you've got an account that compounds more than once a year. Now, that's could happen. Like I said, if I don't say anything about it, the payments, the compounding follows the payments, 1-1 or 12-12. But let's do this one. What happens if that 3.09% is compounded semi-annually? All you do is go down here to this C and you put in 2. Compoundings. That's the only thing you do. And then go back up here and say alpha solve. As you can see, you'll have a little more in there. Did you see that? Because you've got a little bit of juice on your compoundings. Well, what if it were, I'm still putting the payments in every year, but suppose that they're paying the compound. What if that 3.09 is compounded quarterly? Do you see it? It actually is juicing those extra compoundings. Are juicing it a little bit. Not much, but so don't panic if there's more compounding than there are payments. Just use that little C button. Otherwise, leave that thing the heck alone. But in this case, it helps. It gives you a little bit of extra. Now, let's get down to where this can be useful to you. You, madam, have decided that you want a car. Now, you decided that you're wanting a car that is awesome. So, we're not going to talk about one of those little boxes like that. What is that one called? The Soul or something like that? Or Kia, yeah. Don't they recall for ugly? I shouldn't talk about that because I've been looking at a large version of one of those boxy cars. Because of all my artwork to go to art shows, so I shouldn't be fussing about them. But your dream car, okay? Say it costs $24,000. Now, you have gone to your bank or your credit union, you've talked it over with them, and you say, well, I should like a 5-year loan. 5 times 12. 12 payments a year, monthly payments. Well, we can get you an APR of 4.19%. But remember the payments, the compoundings will follow the payments. Just keep that in mind. The compoundings follow the payments. So if it's 12 payments a year, 12 compoundings. In other words, interest is recalculated 12 times a year. Every time you make a payment, the interest is calculated. So now we're going down, we're going to say, okay, now remember, PVs always put those in as negatives. So I'm going to get $24,000. I'm going to finance the whole thing. Now there's going to be no, I got to calculate the payment. Now there's going to be no kicker. There is one place where you might see an FV. Have any of you ever seen a lease agreement? A lot of these lease agreements on cars, they have something where you pay a certain amount at the end of the lease and you get the car. That's something that happens. I know a guy, he leases every 3 years. And his last lease is about to come up and he said, well, I could own the car instead of just flipping it. And the amount they want me to pay to own the car is $5,000. So sometimes in a lease agreement, you can have an FV. Normally, it's not there, and I'm not going to ask anything that would have that there. So just do it this old-fashioned way. Now, for God's sake, one's there, and this is the payments are at the end of the month. Don't forget to switch it for what you need. Now, let's go back up and get the payments. Alpha Solve, $444.06 a month is what your payments would be. That's a lot. I mean, geez, Zoe, okay, whatever. It's that's what you would pay. It's nothing, and that I'm going to ask a question on the quiz, and then another one just like it on the exam. If you can do this, you can be a hero. I have three levels of questions on my exams. There are level one. They are easy. That's enough to get you a C or a very low B. Then there are intermediates that are harder, and then there are enough of those, solid B, and maybe even a low A, and then there are some hard ones. I consider these my level threes. The math questions are the level threes. So if you can do this, you've gotten one of the hard questions on the exam. And if you're looking at time, it takes what, 20 seconds to do this? And that's that much more time you have for the other 39 questions. So I'm trying to telegraph my punches to you here. Okay, now here's a twist on it. I don't know if you've heard this, but when the bank is deciding whether you can get a loan or not, they take your disposable income and they say for a car payment or for a home payment, it has to be a certain percentage of your, no more than a certain percentage of your disposable income. Well, for, let's say that you, madam, are making, you've got a disposable income after your core bills of $50,000, and the bank says that your payment, we will approve a loan if the payment is no more than 15% of that. Whoops, divided by 12. Divided by, that's the most you could afford. So then you could go up and say, I can afford a car of that much. When you go into the dealership, you could just say, out the door, tax and title, you can't put it, I can't pay more than that because the bank won't approve me. That's what you can do. You can actually set the target payment and then say, out the door, in other words, all of the tax and title and all that kind of stuff, it has to be this or lower. That's one of our favorite tricks. And of course, they're going to try to weasel and weasel. Well, we can get you financing better than that. We'll figure out something. Don't. Get your own numbers, and then you can go in, and you are not behind the eight ball in the negotiation. That's what I'm doing right now, as a matter of fact. I calculated what I could afford, and I said this comes out to be $19,270 for that 2019 Subaru Outback. That's the payment can't be more than that amount right there. So if you can get it out the door for that, we're in business. Well, he said, well, no, we're not going below $28,000 on this 40,000-mile, high-mileage 2019 Outback. And I said, well, I understand your position, and I greatly appreciate your time, and I left. He called me, actually, this morning. It's not what you deserve. It's what you negotiate. Okay, so there you go. That's how we use this present value of and future value of annuities. We just use it for these kinds of stupid pet tricks types of problems like this. And, I mean, you can do some pretty complicated things if you want. I'll show you an interesting twist on this. Is that I'm looking at someone who looks lucky. You, madam, look like a lucky person. You bought a lottery ticket and you won. It was a super lotto, $25 million. Right? Okay. Well, you're all excited. You've got your $25 million. You can make things right with all the people that you wronged in your life. You could buy yourself a double-wide house trailer on the south side of Memphis, you know, the whole nine yards, living the dream, right? Well, they say, well, actually, you know, the $25 million is actually not going to come to you. You're going to get that in 12 equal installments. You're going to get $25 million. Is that right? I cannot. Two five zero 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 zero. Is that right? $25 million. Okay. And is that $250 million? I can't stand it. I really can't. My eyes are going. I'm supposed to have surgery to take my eyes out and fix them. No, don't laugh. I've got these floaters. I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, I see this dark shadow. And I think, well, is that the death angel or what? And I try to swerve, and it's actually a floater in my eye. And I think, yeah, that was the death angel because I slam into a bridge abutment. Okay. So what they do is they say, you're going to get these in equal installments. Okay, let's say that the prevailing interest rate is about 4% per year. And it's not $25 million. It's actually each payment is 25, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Divided by 20. But you get 20 of them. So that is $25 million, right? No, it's not. Alpha solve. Something is wrong. Oh, no, payments. 20. There are 20 payments. That's the problem. Talking, chewing gum at the same time. Alpha solve. Nope, I did it wrong, didn't I? Man, I'm off my game here today. Just don't pay attention to me. Okay, alpha solve. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the payments. Man, I'm trying to hurry to get through this by the end of the class, and I'm just okay. Yep, man. You know what? I'm almost about to say the hell with it here. Alpha solve. Oh, that's enough. All right, get out of here. I'm tired of it right now. We'll do it again on Friday. That's all I have for you. I don't thank you at all. God. Whoa.